This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue with our series called The Keys to a Blessed Life. In these lessons, Rick shares the practical steps found in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that will help you live the hopeful and purpose-filled life God planned for you. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about Pastor Rick's brand new book called Created to Dream. This life-changing book will help you discover and live out the amazing dream God has just for you. To find out more, go to PastorRick.com right now while you listen to today's broadcast, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called How God Blesses Broken Hearts.
Now, the reason you have the ability to grieve is because you are made in God's image. The Bible tells us that God grieves. The Bible tells us that God weeps. When he sees inhumanity on earth, he weeps. When God sees a sin, he weeps. When God sees wars destroying people, when God sees his planet being destroyed, God weeps. God grieves. And we're made in God's image, and the Bible says God weeps with us. In other words, God is a suffering God, and God is a sympathetic God. He's not aloof. He's not apathetic. He's standing, not standing on the sidelines. He suffers with us. Look at this verse up here on the screen. Isaiah 53, verse 3 says this. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Have you ever seen that verse? Jesus, it's out of Isaiah, it's prophecy, was a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief. He knew suffering firsthand. So, when you come to Jesus, it's not like Jesus goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. When your heart is breaking and you're in pain, it's not like Jesus going, I don't understand it. I don't get that. Just buck up and put on a happy face. No, Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Let me just give you one example. There on your outline, when his friend Lazarus died, the Bible says in John 11, when Jesus saw Lazarus' sister sobbing, and he saw how all those were crying also. His heart was touched, and he was deeply moved. Then Jesus started crying. See how much he loved Lazarus, they say. Circle the word love. You know, I told you that grief is actually an evidence of love. And the more you love, the more you're going to grieve about things. If you're apathetic, if you're callous, you don't have any love in your life, you don't care what happens to anybody else. It doesn't bother you. You don't grieve about the tragedy of your next door neighbor. If you don't love them, you don't care. The more you love, the more you're going to understand grief. And it says, Jesus started crying. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible is John 11, 35. It's two words. Jesus wept. John 11, 35. That's your memory verse for the week, okay? Everybody can do that. Let's say it. John 11, 35. What did it say? Jesus wept. And where is that? John 11, 35. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. You just memorized a Bible verse. It's only two words. Jesus wept. But what does it say? It says we have a suffering God. We have a God who sympathizes, who understands, who knows us. And the Bible says, Jesus started crying. Now, let me just say to the guys, we're not very good at grief. It's not a macho thing. We don't like negative feelings. Men don't like to feel negative. They don't like bad things. They certainly don't like sorrow. And we're taught growing up, you know, in fact, parents, you need to stop teaching your kid to stuff their emotions. Because one of the first things parents did, stop your crying, stop your crying, stop your crying. Really? Is that what you really want? You want to teach people to stuff their emotions? The Bible says Jesus started crying. Sadness is not weakness. Jesus was the strongest man who ever lived. For a man to show emotion is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. Weak men are scared of their emotions. Weak men are afraid of tears. It freaks them out. They go nutty. Why? Because it scares them. When you're a strong man, You're not afraid of emotion. You're not afraid to show it. You're not even afraid to cry. Jesus was the strongest man who ever lived. So never be embarrassed. Never be embarrassed by tears. In fact, the Bible says Jesus was sent to comfort us. Look at this, Isaiah 61, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says, He has sent me, Jesus, to comfort all who mourn, to give those who mourn in Zion joy and gladness instead of grief, and a song of praise instead of sorrow. So, the first two ways that God blesses a broken heart is He draws us close to Himself. He says, I'm going to be with you. You're not going to go through this on your own. And number two, I'm going to feel it with you. The pain you feel in that separation, God feels it. The pain you feel in that loneliness, God feels it. The pain you feel in that rejection, God feels it. The pain you feel in that embarrassment, that disgrace, God feels it. He is with you, and He is feeling it with you. Now, there's a third thing that God does in blessing our broken hearts, and that is this. God gives us a church family for support. God never meant for you to go through life on your own. And God says, I didn't intend for you to go through grief. You know, the old statement that when you share a joy, it's doubled, and when you share a sorrow, it's halved. When you carry it all yourself, you're carrying a load that God never intended for you to have. When something bad happens to you and you say, I'm not going to tell anybody about this, I'm going to keep it a secret, I'm going to keep it to myself, you have just broken one of the principles of God's word. God says we're meant to grieve in community. Healing comes in groups. Healing comes in the church. Healing comes in community. We're better together. You weren't meant to carry it on your own. Look at this verse, Romans 12, 5, 10, and 15. Three verses in Romans chapter 12. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Now, these are commands. And if you call yourself a follower of Christ, they're commanded for you. In Christ, we form one body. That's the church. The church is the family of God, and it's the body of Christ. And the Bible says each member belongs to all the others. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but you could turn to the people on either side and say, you belong to me. You might have a few marriage proposals, but we belong to each other. We're brothers and sisters in God's family. We're part of the body of Christ. And then it says we are to be devoted to each other like a loving family. And how are we devoted? We sympathize with each other. When you have a victory, I shouldn't be jealous. I should celebrate your success. And when you have a defeat, I shouldn't gloat over that. I should mourn with those who mourn. Now, I'm not going to go into this because you've heard me talk about it 1,000 times, but you need a small group. If you don't have a small group, you have no safety net when the rogue winds come. I would not be standing before you today if it weren't for my small group. My small group, the one I've been in 11 years, walked me through this last year when my son took his life. My small group was there in the darkest days of my life. They were there just being the ministry of presence. They didn't have to say anything. They didn't have to give me any advice. They just showed up. Who are you doing that for? Who knows that you would show up in their crisis? And who has that same kind of commitment to you? You need to get in a small group. There is no reason at all for you to go through the pain on your own. It's just your own pride that will keep you from getting involved in the support. The Bible says God gives us a church family for support. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, comfort each other and give each other strength. Now, let me give you a couple suggestions, because right now you're in one of two positions. You're either going through pain yourself and you need comfort, or you're not going through pain and you need to comfort others. You either need comfort or you need to be comforted. You need to be comforted or you need to be a comforter. You either need help or you need to help. Either way, this is a message that you need to be using. If you're not in major pain right now, you need to be thinking, how can I follow what Jesus tells me to do and comfort the people in pain around me? Well, first, you got to be aware. And if you care, you'll be aware. There are people in pain sitting on your row, and you don't even know what their pain is. If you care, you'll be aware. Let me give you two suggestions for comforting people when they go through any kind of loss, financial loss, physical loss, health loss, loss of a loved one, or anything. Let me just give you two. Write these down. Number one, never minimize another's pain, the pain of others. Never minimize others' pain. Kay was talking the other day. We were in London, and she was speaking, and she said, one of the words you can delete from your vocabulary when you're talking to somebody in pain is the word at least. And she told me about a lady, a mother, who had lost a child through drowning. And a neighbor came over and, in a meaningful attempt to comfort, said, well, at least you're young enough to have another child. Are you kidding me? I'm sure that mama said, I'm not wanting another child. I want my child back. I want my child back. Don't tell me, well, at least you've got three other kids. Are you kidding me? Well, at least you've got your... Eliminate the phrase at least from your vocabulary when talking to somebody in pain. It doesn't help. It's not, you're trying to minimize the pain by pointing out something good. Just never minimize the pain of others. And I would say again, parents, stop trying to teach your kids to stuff it. Don't cry now. You know, the typical reaction when somebody's in pain, we try to fix it immediately. Don't be in a hurry to fix anything. You don't need to fix it. God will fix it in due time. What you need to do is just be there and be aware and care. So never minimize. The other thing is never rush people. Never rush people. Pain and grief takes time. And nobody can figure out how long the grief's going to take for any particular thing in your life but you. I can't tell you what's the appropriate time to grieve for anything in your life. You're just going to have to figure that one out yourself. And it's different for everybody else. You know, in marriages, the death of a child is often the predictor of a divorce. In fact, marriages that have the death of a child don't have a pretty good rate of staying together. Kay and I knew that statistic. And when Matthew died, we determined that we were going to let this draw us closer to each other rather than divide us. And it was all because of one thing, showing grace to each other and realizing whatever you're feeling right now is okay. And I don't try to talk Kay out of her feelings. She doesn't try to talk me out of mine. And we just enter into each other's pain. A feeling is neither right or wrong. It's just a feeling. Let me say that one again. A feeling is never right or wrong. It's just a feeling. So husbands, quit trying to talk your wife out of feelings. And wives, quit trying to talk your husbands out of feelings. Feeling is neither right nor wrong. It's just a feeling. And so you show grace to each other. And you never rush people. Kay wrote a column, or a little post in Facebook about how she was starting to feel people kind of rushing her and saying, you know, when are you going to go back to teaching? And, you know, when are you going to be back on the stage? And you know, and kind of like, aren't you over it yet? And she stopped trying to push people to get over it. She wrote this little post. Did it hit a nerve? Over 3 million people reposted it. Why? Because that's the way anybody who's in deep pain feels. They understand. Don't tell me to get over it. You don't get over it. You get through it. You get through it. So God gives us a family, and we're not to minimize and we're not to rush the people in our lives. There's a fourth way that God blesses broken hearts. All right? He gives us a church family. He gives us his own presence. He grieves with us. Number four, God uses grief to help us grow. God uses grief. God uses pain, even, to help us grow. And he does it in three ways. Here are three verses that illustrate three different ways. First, God uses pain to get our attention. C.S. Lewis wrote, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone. Pain is saying, hello, We rarely change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. Here's what the Bible says, Proverbs 20, verse 30. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. That's in today's English version. Anybody agree with that verse? Yeah. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, we live in a broken world where nothing works perfectly, and we often experience loss, fear, frustration, and pain. And because of that, we need to spend time with God in prayer every day, seeking His peace and protection for our lives and for others. But sometimes we are so overwhelmed and depleted, we simply don't know what to pray. That's why Pastor Rick wrote a special comforting prayer that you can pray today. Just text the word FREE to 800-600-5004. That's the word FREE to 800-600-5004. And we'll send you a download of Rick's special prayer. Know that when you pray, God will hear and bring the comfort He promises. Now, did you know God has a dream for your life? And it's far bigger than anything you could ever dream or think up on your own. The Bible says God can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. It's as if God is saying to you, think the greatest dream for your life, and I can top it. Maybe you haven't yet found God's dream for you, or perhaps you already have and you've encountered difficulties, delays, detours, and even dead ends. You may even feel like giving up. Pastor Rick says every God-given dream takes a predictable path from dream to deliverance. And along the way, God is building your faith one step at a time. If you're ready to live the extraordinary life God has for you, then you're going to want to get Pastor Rick's brand new book called Created to Dream, The Six Phases God Uses to Grow Your Faith. Based on the lives of well-known people in the Bible, this life-changing book will help you discover God's dream for your life and will show you how to overcome the many barriers you'll encounter as you pursue the dream God created just for you. Created to Dream is one of the most important messages Pastor Rick has ever taught. That's why right now, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take God's Word to the whole world, we'll send you two copies of this life-changing new book. That's one for you and one to share with a friend who needs to know God really does have a dream for their life. Request yours today by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. Today I want to introduce you to Allison. She recently wrote me to tell how God had saved her from a life of prostitution and used Daily Hope to help her grow as a young Christian. Here's what she wrote. I grew up in an atheist family, and I was taught that people who believe in God are crazy, stupid, and brainwashed. I ended up being a hardcore drug addict for 15 years, and to pay for my habit, I sold my body on the street, and I was homeless. But I found a Bible in a hotel room where I was working, and the Lord radically saved me through His Word. Then an amazing church family embraced me fully and helped me to grow in the Lord. One day, Pastor Rick, I came across your TED Talk on the internet, and I was blown away. So I looked up your website and I downloaded the Daily Hope app. And I started listening to your sermons every single morning. I then bought the book, A Purpose Driven Life, on audible.com. I've enjoyed it immensely. I am so blessed to give a monthly donation so you can share your message all over the world. Your Daily Hope messages have meant so much to me in the past year, and I'm just an infant in Christ. I appreciate all the encouragement that I get from listening to you. Thank you, Pastor Rick. You know, Allison, I can't thank you enough for writing to me and sharing your story. We live to get these letters, and it's so exciting to hear stories from people like you who have been radically touched and transformed
by the message of hope through Daily Hope. And I appreciate you giving a monthly donation. Thank you for your prayers for this ministry, that we can pass this good news of hope on to others. I just want you to know that I'm going to be praying that God continues to use you in the lives of other people and to use Daily Hope to help you grow more like Jesus. God bless you, Allison.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.